Our gracious God, we come into your presence to avail ourselves to the means of grace, your word, your sacraments. May your Holy Spirit attend to our reception, being able to hear your word and your word alone, and to receive yourself in baptism at the table. For from beginning to end, it's all Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Right when the Second World War was beginning, there was an engineer in Switzerland who would often take long walks in the woods, and he would think. And when he would walk, he noticed when he comes back on his hike that there would always be these burrs that would stick to his pants. And being an engineer, it was simply not a nuisance. You know the engineer, right? It was something for him to figure out. Well, out of that, this Swiss engineer named Damon Straw, in 1941, created a product that took about 1,000 or so hooks and 1,000 or so loops, and learned if you pushed them together, like that burr on his pants, they would stick together. And that product that he invented in 1941 is now used from submarine to outer space. And you probably use it daily for your teeth or for your shoes or for other things. You know what they're called? Velcro. And I learned in my research for this that Velcro is, he took the two words for velvet and crochet and created Velcro. These simple items like a burr, only purpose is to connect, to keep them together with. And that's what baptism is. Baptism, if you allow me in a crass way, is to say, and it's far deeper than this, but maybe our mind can get around it, is that Velcro keeps us with. It's where Jesus Christ identifies with us and where we are identified and connected with Him. You look with me in Romans 6, we see four different times, almost in rapid fire emphasis, four different compound words that speak about this connection. If you look in verse 4, we were buried therefore with Him. In verse 5, we are united with Him. In verse 6, we are crucified with Him. In verse 8, we live with Him. We are not solitary Christians. And we often stress that, emphasizing that we should not have fellowship with one another. And that's true. We are intimately connected with one another. But we're also intimately connected with Jesus Christ. We are so connected with Him that we are partners with Him. We take Him unto ourselves as He took our flesh, so we take Him. And as you know, I like to stress, these are not just good ideas we have. Just like a burr that actually really got on his pant leg, so we are really, truthfully connected with Jesus Christ. And we see in this passage, through our baptism, we're connected in three essential ways. The first way we're connected, we see in verse 3 and 4, through, if you allow me to call it, the Easter event, through His crucifixion and the resurrection. Let's begin in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us, all believers, who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were, as said, definitively speaking, baptized in His death. You truly were there at His death. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. See, before baptism, we were not connected. We were disconnected. And that's a great understanding. If we truly understand it, we would cry out like Isaiah did when he saw the glory of the Lord. Woe is me. I'm disintegrated. I'm totally disconnected from God. In fact, Paul would say in this passage and in Ephesians 2, we were so disconnected, we were dead. We were dead. It wasn't that we just were devout people trying to find our way along. We weren't just naturally good people trying to find how it all fits together. We were absolutely dead. We were disconnected from Christ. We were aliens. And as Paul would say earlier in Romans, while we were yet sinners, we were that disconnected. And this is completely, this work of baptism is completely the work of God. No one else could have done this for us. He did it for us. There's a wonderful story about a preacher named Morehouse. You might know his name because there was an old Episcopal publishing company called Morehouse Barlow. And Morehouse was a minister in the 19th century. And his daughter had a strange genetic disease where she was paralyzed from her waist down. She could not move. She could not carry herself. And right around her mother's birthday, she's in her late 8, 9 years old, she sees her dad come home and he has a package for mom, a birthday gift for her mother. And she said, "Dad, let me carry the package for mom." And Morehouse said, "Sweetie, you can't carry yourself. How are you going to carry the package, the gift to your mom?" And Morehouse wrote that his daughter said, "No, Daddy, I'll carry the package. You carry me." And baptism is our confessing that this salvation is not something we're carrying. He's carrying us. He baptized us. He saved us. He connected us. The second way we see that we're connected is not just looking back at the cross and the resurrection, but it says, today we walk in newness of life. But like physical walking, this is something where He doesn't do it for us. The first part He does do for us. Just like Lazarus. Lazarus did not give himself life. Jesus had to give him life. But then He told Lazarus to come forward. This walking in the newness of life is a work that the Holy Spirit does in and through us. You ever notice, I remember as a kid watching, Marlon Perkins and the Wild Kingdom of Mutual of Omaha. It struck me early, because I was the oldest in the family, so I had these little siblings around. And I would watch them learn what I had learned a long time prior to them. And at the same time I'm watching this Marlon Perkins, and it sort of dawned on me, how come horses and deer and calves can be born and get up on their feet and start walking almost immediately? And how come it took my brother a couple of years to do it? I mean, what is it about this? Well, like physical walking, there's a lot of falling along the way. I was there when I learned to walk, but I don't really remember it. But I remember it with my children. You remember teaching your children how to walk? You remember how they would start and they would topple? And they never, did any of you have someone who learned how to walk the first time perfectly? Did you see your children fall? And did you do what I did when they fall? You picked them up and threw them in the corner, and I said, "I knew you were no good. I knew you'd never learn this walking." Well, we encourage them. I remember changing the analogy. I remember helping teach how to ride a bicycle. And you run behind and you hold. Your hands are there. Walking. And you're holding their arms and you're encouraging. How much more does our Heavenly Father in heaven, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, encourage us in this walk? doesn't kick us to the side when we fall, doesn't throw us away, doesn't give sarcastic jabs along the way that we're not walking better or faster or someone else did before you did, but rather is patiently helping us through the gift of the Holy Spirit who is helping us walk. And if you're like me, when your children got to the other side and put that first or second stumbling step on their own, we picked them up and held them up like they had just won the Boston Marathon. And so God rejoices and celebrates them out. One author I was reading talking about this, I thought this was so powerful. He said, talking about just good parents, and I think this is so good for God. He said, my parents did not praise me because of my accomplishments. Rather, they praised my accomplishments because they loved me and would have loved me if there were no accomplishments to praise. Can I read that again? My parents did not praise me because of my accomplishments. Rather, they praised my accomplishments because they loved me and would have loved me if there were no accomplishments to praise. Like Morehouse, had our children not been able to walk along at all, we would still praise them. We would still love them, and we would carry them. And the third way we see in this passage, we're connected. Not only looking back, and we know at the crucifixion and resurrection, we were identified and connected with Jesus Christ, not only in the living of the day, in the walking in the newness of life today, but we look forward, and when we know on that day, when we take our last breath, we have the comfort and the hope, a sure hope of knowing that we're identified with Christ, and our life will continue. Look in verse 5. For if we have been, and it's rhetorical, since we have been united with him in a death like his, i.e. a baptism, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. See, we can live in peace knowing that in death, there's more to come. There's more to come. Now, I'm not going to tell you the story if you know it. About, I think if you haven't heard preachers tell it, it's probably been on Facebook at least 1,000 times since I've been on Facebook this year, but about eat your fork after supper because you know there's dessert coming. Well, let me tell you a story that you don't know is mine. And I don't do it now, so don't tell me I need to repent and all that, because I no longer do it. But there was a time of my life that I just thought to be a good theologian, you had to smoke a pipe. And I love my pipe. And I gave it up, so don't pray for me, at least not on that. I've given it up. But I'm in charge. And I got to tell you, there were some days that were so stressful. Really, the only thing that got me through the day, I knew that I was going to wind up at the end of the day sitting on my back porch, lighting that pipe. And it held me in a far, far greater way. Our understanding that we are certainly united with him in his resurrection gives us the peace as the days are difficult and stressful, and we wonder if we can hold on. We know at the end of the day, we're going to be with our Savior. At the end of the day, we are going to live forever. I don't have his permission to tell you this story. I was going to ask his permission this morning, but he didn't come to church. So I'm going to venture on without his permission. Just don't tell him I said it. But I'm so proud of David Mason. David Mason, a member of our church, who truly is my cousin. Biologically, I've known him all my life. And I've said before that I would thank God for Christianity and for this church, because over the last 4 or 5 years, he took a cousin and truly turned him into a brother. And I just love David. And as you know, David lost his biological brother 2 or 3 weeks ago, 53 years old. And David spoke at the funeral. And I'm so proud of what David said. What he said as a general, I'm going to quote because he captured it better than I have tried to capture. He said, "I'm sick and tired of people telling me that my brother Robbie is lost or has passed away." He didn't pass away, David said with great emphasis, and he's not lost. He continues to live forever in the loving hands of the one who purchased him through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He's not lost, he's finally found. He's eternally secure on that day because we are connected intimately with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. You can find it on page 881 in your handout. This is the faith that the church believes. Let us confess it together, brothers and sisters. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the great and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of hope, in your Holy Spirit, you hovered over the face of the waters in creation. And in your pillar of fire, you led your people to liberation across the Red Sea. Through the waters, you brought your people into the life and land of promise. In your Son's baptism at the Jordan, we see your creative and liberating purpose at work amid our human flaws and failures, and we hear anew with hope the promise of your voice. In our own baptism, you number us among your saints, created and redeemed for your glory. Through baptism, you bury us in death with Christ, yet raise us to new life with him forever. And so we gladly thank you, the saints and angels and archangels, and all the company of heaven, sing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, both heaven and high. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, both heaven and high.
Blessing God, who sent down your Holy Spirit like a dove upon your beloved, send your Spirit among us now to sanctify us by your grace. By the power of that same Spirit, may these gifts of bread and wine be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who would suffer with his disciples, took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Father of glory, you have opened your heaven and come among us. Be close to those who ache for your liberating power in the midst of travails and seek your open heaven. Visit all who need the healing, forgiving, peacemaking, and restoring touch of your Spirit and look for your kingdom to come. Bless all who long to be called beloved by sibling or parent or spouse or friend or child, and any who are searching for the love that only you can bring. Until all stand in your presence and sing your name and are enfolded in your grace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God given for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. As he has given us himself, identified in baptism, so he gives himself to us really in this table. Real food, real body, real blood. His very presence for us, given to us. He calls all those who love him in sincerity and truth to come and to partake of this table. We practice by intention. You can come and kneel at the communion rail and have prayer. Say a prayer for someone while you're here that's heavy on your heart, that needs the extension of the love that we find in this table. There's cards here if you want to send it to them. Betsy will be in the corner if you'd like to have someone join with you in prayer. We are connected, not in thought, but indeed in reality. This is his table prepared for us at this particular moment. May we come and receive our Lord.